God bless you this evening. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that we can gather again, Lord Jesus, this Thursday night, Lord, to be with believers and to have you in with us, Lord, to have you come and do for us what we have need of, Lord, because we are incapable of doing for ourselves. We need you for everything, Lord. We need you for every breath we take, for every time our heart beats, Lord. We need you to help us. And Lord, tonight we come and we ask that you, knowing our needs, you would bring the word that will meet the needs for this hour, Lord. We're living in a very amazing hour, Lord, of time when the time for the Gentiles is fading out. And Lord, we're here right at the very cusp of this to see you do the things that you promised to do in this last age. And Lord, we ask you to open our eyes more and more to see this, Lord Jesus, what you are doing here among us. Father, for the ones, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, Lord Jesus, oh, have mercy, Lord, and get them in whatever it takes. And for those of us who are in, Lord, just keep us pressing the battle. Keep us going on, Lord Jesus. Help us tonight just to encourage us, Lord, to see the reality of what you are doing among us, Lord, to see the reality of the word made flesh tonight, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes, open our ears to hear and help each one, Lord, to let nothing hinder them from pressing on. I ask that you would now give them anointing to speak this word, Lord. Have each person give them anointing to hear, Lord Jesus, that you could have your way in each life. I ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. If you want to read, we're going to read out of Isaiah 59. Just read one verse and we're going to be seated. We're going to keep reading out of Isaiah 59, but I just want to read this one verse that we're going to talk about tonight. It's very familiar, of course, as most of the Bible is. Isaiah 59 and 19. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift a standard against him. You may be seated. A standard. We want to talk tonight about the thought of a standard and what it is. The Lord, the enemy comes in like a flood. And so many times in our lives, it seems like the enemy comes in like a flood. And we just seemed overwhelmed at times. And then God brings us through it, and he lifts up that standard. We know the standard is the word. But we want to look at what that means, that the standard is the word a little tonight. So we're going to go back into Isaiah 59. We're going to read quite a bit here. We're going to start at verse 9. We look at the situation that humanity was in. He says, therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. Does this describe your life at one time? We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn all sore like doves. We look for judgment, for there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression, revolt, conceiving, uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Let me just stop there for a second. Brother and sister, this is describing our best efforts to be a Christian. That is what you got right there. That is the best we can do. And we think we're doing it right, but it says, where is that again? Conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Because, brother and sister, Satan will come in and deceive all on the face of the earth whose names are not written on the Lamb's Book of Life. All, everyone. And the best we can do is like stumble at midday as in the nighttime. The best we can do is we grope for the wall. We're struggling. We're trying to find truth. We're trying to find God. We're trying to find something that's real. And this is the best we can come up with. That's why the message came, brother and sister. That's why the message came. Because in the evening time, it shall be light. Amen. And when that evening, that light came in the evening time, what did it do for the bride? It was a morning. It became morning. Brother Branham said, arise, shine, your light has come. It's good morning to the bride, to the rest of the world is evening and they're going off into darkness, but we see a great light. My. Verse 15, it says, yea, truth faileth. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. The Lord saw what was going on. He saw what the church had gotten to. He knew, he saw that the church ages had buried the word and got us so messed up and so the way, and so he started bringing it back from the dark ages and on up. But here at this time, even Pentecost, they had got off into the denomination like every other age, and it just keeps going and keeps going. He said, oh, but displeased him. There was no judgment. There was nothing that you could look at and say, this is the truth, because God's vindicating it for sure. That's why you have this group jump off here and that group jump off here, and the Pentecostal split up, and now the message has split up all over. Why? Because they follow this doctrine, they follow this emotion, they follow something, except the problem is we're not looking for what is God's standard. We all have our own standard. We all have our own religion. We have our own thing we're looking for, and God sets a standard. He said, I have a standard. What is it? Let's look at what it is. Let's keep going. Verse 16. And he saw that there is no man. He said he was displeased. He said there is no man. Wonder that there is no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation and his righteousness is sustained. And that word wonder means he was stunned. He was appalled. He said, I can't believe it. Look at this. My children are going off and they're being led astray this way and that way. And they're doing the best they can. And the best they can is stumble around in darkness. He said, therefore, his arm brought salvation. His righteousness, it sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands, he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit shall lift up a standard against him. Recognize this, brother and sister, if you're saved because Jesus Christ saved you, it had nothing to do with your efforts. It wasn't what you did. It was what he did, because his zeal, he brought him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate. It was his helmet of salvation. It was him doing it all the time, because he looked around and he said, there's something wrong. My bride, she's being led astray. I want to get her back, because this is the age when she's going to be pure. This is the age. When we were lost, he came to us. He saved us by his power. If not, go save somebody. Go ahead. Save somebody. You can't save anybody. God can save someone through you. Isn't that exciting? To me, it is. To me, it's amazing. So this flood that comes in, we don't have people kicking in our doors, dragging us down to the local arena and throwing us to lions. They're not tying us to stakes and burning us to death. That's not the flood that's coming against us right now. What is the flood that Satan's sending on the whole earth right now against every person? Deception. This is the age of deception. All on earth are deceived except for God's chosen. Jesus said this. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So you can't come to God on your own. I wish people would recognize that. They said, well, I guess I'll go to church and they see what happens. No, they didn't. If they came to a real church, God moved on that to get them to that church, because he says, I'm trying to get you saved. And recognize this, like he said Sunday, he's going to save you regardless. If you're his, he is going to save you, because his love constrains him to save all his. And all the Father given him will come, and he will not lose a one. That is so good, brother and sister. So it's the deception. So Satan comes in with the deception. God raises a standard so you won't be deceived. So what is that? It's the word. We know it's the word, so we know right from wrong. But here's the thing. If it's just the written word or just the spoken word itself, just in that form, you can still be deceived. Because how many people are deceived by preachers? How many people are deceived by reading the real Bible? And preachers will take that, or they'll take it themselves. They won't listen to a preacher, and they say, well, I believe it this way. I believe it this way. I believe the message a certain way. And they're running off chasing some deceptive spirit. It's true. So the standard of this word is not a doctrine. It's not a doctrine. Because I believe one doctrine because I can prove it by the message. And Brother Gene can believe another doctrine because he can believe it by the message. And Brother Will can believe another doctrine he can prove by the message. So it's not a doctrine because that's not a proof. People are very sincere. They believe it with all their heart. They'll give their life for what they believe, and it could be completely wrong. So this word is not a doctrine that the standard. It's not that at all. The standard is the word, but it's not just merely the written word, the spoken word. Look, so many people, Christians, people I work with, they believe this is God's word. They believe the Bible is God's word, and they will make a stand with this, and they will use this as their standard, and they can do a good job of it. But the best they can do is produce a lukewarm life, all we just read about. The best you can do with just the written word is produce a lukewarm life. You can be a good person. You can do good things, but you're stumbling around in darkness. You can't find your way because the light is not shining, because that in itself is not the light. And the lukewarm life ain't good enough for the bride. There's something inside you. We've led a lukewarm lives. We know what it is to be a halfway Christian. We know what it is to just try to be a good person and do the right things. And you recognize it did not satisfy you. It never satisfied you. There's always something that was just something that's still wrong. What she's looking for, what the bride is, she's looking, listen for the voice of God to take this word and speak to her secrets. It's speaking to her his love secrets, and only she can hear it, and it's only as an individual. The whole bride as a whole doesn't hear the voice of God. It's you as an individual hearing God speaking to you personally. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I know some of you do. I hope all of you do. She hears his word. It's the vindicated word. And she walks in faith producing what the word says would happen. It happens in her. That's the real standard, brother and sister, is when this word is spoken to you and it produces itself in you and you see it happening. That's God saying, this is my vindication. This is the proof. There is a standard. When it's happening, then you look and say, well, the word says this. What does it mean? And this minister says, well, it means this. And this one says, well, it means this. And God says, no, this is what it means. And you look in the mirror, he says, oh, he's talking about me. He's talking about you, brother and sister. The standard is the word made flesh in his bride. Now, no one can question it. You cannot wonder, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Because there it is walking in front of you. And he uses the weakest vessel he could find on earth to prove his word as human beings. Isn't that exciting? It ain't because we're so good. It's because we're so bad. Because no one has confidence in you. But then God comes and does something, and everyone has to recognize, well, that's God. God does things in your life that you know for a fact you can't do. You know for sure it wasn't you. And other people will look at you and say, well, that wasn't you. That wasn't Brother Gene. That wasn't Sister Liddy. That was God doing that because a human being, and I know him too well, I know her too well, that couldn't have been them. You know what that does? When you see that happen in you, your faith anchors. And you know this is God. This is him doing it. Look, when you're born again, you know God. But you don't stop there. You keep growing. And every time I go through something, it draws us closer to God. And we know him more. We love him greater. And we see a greater aspect of God we never saw before. And all it does is it makes you want to love him more. Brother Jim, he gives his testimony the last couple weeks. He said, God took cigarettes from me. I was saved. I knew that. And I knew God was real because what he did, but I never knew God was real like I know now. Why? Because God has done a greater thing, something more, and he's showing more of his attributes. And Brother Jumbo says, oh my goodness, I love him more than I ever did. Why? Because you get to know him more. The more you know him, the more you love him. And that's what this life is all about. It's not going out trying to see how good you live. It's getting a closer walk with Christ. So you love him more. Why do you love him more? Because you see more and more who he is and how great he is and how much he loves you. And he was never going to let you be lost. It wasn't going to happen. And you can look through your life and say, all this stuff happened and I didn't understand it. And I didn't understand it. And this was going on and I was going crazy. And all of a sudden he stopped her and says, I was just saving you. I was doing it the whole time. It was always me. This is my standard. You don't have to wonder, should I believe what Brother Phil's preaching? You don't listen. You don't have to wonder if the ministry here is right or not. You have to look at the effect it has. And if it's producing Christ, then you are obligated to believe it's true. If it's not producing Christ, flee and never come back through those doors. But quit riding the fence. Well, sometimes I like what you preach, Brother Phil. Sometimes I don't. Guess who's wrong? Let me tell you something. I have yet, and Brother Jerry has yet, to walk up here and get in this pulpit with their own idea. You think we're stupid? You think we don't care about our own eternal life? You think we want to stand on Judgment Day and, well, God, I know you wanted me to say that, but I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, so I just ignore that part. Tell you what, love constrains me to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. And love will accept it because you recognize the voice of God. And if you're somewhere in the middle, you need to get saved. You don't recognize the voice of God. When you don't like it, well, I don't know about that, Brother Phil. I don't think that's good for you. Can I say, look around you. What effect is the word having in this church? What effect? Some people are going on. Some people are being born again. Some people are manifesting more Christ in their life than they ever have before. And some people are wondering, well, I don't like that. I don't know. I just don't think. I ain't that smart. Brother and sister, I'm not saying I'm smart at all, but I'm telling you this, I care about more about eternal life than to come up here and be stupid. I'm not going to come up here and say something that's going to just pat someone on the back because it's what you want to hear. I was just listening to a message. Brother Brown was preaching, the world is falling apart. And he was speaking to all his businessmen, all these Methodists and especially Pentecostal Baptists and all these people, and he was tearing them up. It was rough. He was talking directly to the people in these denominations. And I think all these message believers who have heard Brother Jerry preach and complain about how hard he preaches, you obviously don't listen to your own prophet. How can you listen to what Brother Branham said and then say what I preach and Brother Jerry preaches is rough? You ain't listening to the prophet the same one I'm listening to. Boy, this is not in my notes, folks. What is it? The bride needs something more. The bride wants something that will satisfy. The bride is willing to do whatever it takes. God will get her to the point. She says, if you had to rip me in half, but I got to have something to satisfy this. That's right. And she walks in the faith that produces, the word that's happening in her life. Let me tell you something. Satan comes and says, you're not born again. You're not saved. You're not lost. You're going to miss the rapture. You're not all this. And we get to like trying to prove to him what we are. Well, yes, I am. Well, how do you know? Because I do this and I do this and I do this. You're going about it the wrong way. Your evidence of being born again is not what you do. It's not what you're doing. It's what he is doing in you. That will knock the devil for a loop when he comes and tries to say, well, Brother Gene, you're not born again. And Brother Gene says, well, then why is God doing this in my life? He's doing this in my life. He's doing this in my life. What? You explain that. Come back when you got the answer. Now go away. You don't have to be respectful to the devil, folks. I think I read this quote Sunday. He said, don't judge a man by how well he can pray for the sick. If he can speak in tongues and all these things, he said, you judge a person by how much love they have for Christ and for the people around them. Brother and sister, that love isn't some fawny love where I pat you on the back. Oh, sister, I love you so much. God bless you. No, that love is, Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And that's not following rules. Keeping those commandments and not following rules, because he fulfilled those commandments. Keeping those commandments is you will be born again and you will let the Holy Spirit manifest himself through your life, and you will lay down your own junk and your own ideas and your own thoughts and your own emotions, your own feelings, so that Christ can manifest through you. Do you love God that way? Oh. Brother and sister, this standard, when Christ is in you, the hope of glory. That's the standard that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. That's the standard that the bride has to keep walking in the Lord, that conquers all. That Brother Branham said, love brings faith on the battlefield. Love, your love for Christ brings faith, and you go and you walk forward and you can conquer every enemy that comes against you. Every enemy. Say, well, I want to do it right now. Well, sometimes you don't get to do it right now. Sometimes you got to walk for years to get to that gate. Sometimes you got to walk for years to get to that place. Sometimes it can happen in a week, sometimes in a month, sometimes in 10 years. But you keep going until you get there. It don't just happen all at one time, because he's molding us. He's training us. You become the standard, brother and sister. He raises you up. And the whole world says, well, this is what I believe, and this is what I believe. And God says, this is my standard. This is my proof. This is my vindication. We don't like that. We don't want to do it that way. Let me read you something Brother Branham said. See if you still agree with your prophet. Preachers are too scared to say something about it in the pulpit. Afraid they'll be put out of their organization. That's right. He said we need back to the Word of God. Back to not some emotion. Some talk of back to the Word, but I mean the heart and soul and the individual back to the Word of God. He's not talking about educated, well, this is what we believe and this is what we believe. He's not talking about that. I've seen so many times when someone comes to a message believer and we talk about God, the first thing we do is we start educating him on the prophet. Get him to Christ. Get him to Christ. That's what counts. He said, what did you do, or why were you afraid to say it? You get to speaking about it, and your organization will oust you out. They don't preach the standards. They don't preach the truth so God can raise a standard. They preach some kind of creed or doctrine so to keep people happy, and God can never raise a standard. And so the whole church is deceived. God won't raise up a creed as a standard for his bride. He will raise up the living Word. That's the standard. He said, what is it? It's something that's got glamour. You've seen too much television, too much impersonated with the world. Brother David was telling me he was up there in Ohio embarrassing us all down here. Just playing, Brother David. But he was up there and he said he was giving a testimony like it does here. And some of the looks he was getting from people in the pews were like, what is wrong with him? We're used to it by now. They want some, not, I'm not talking about the church in Ohio, but some people, you know, they see some stuff and they want glamour. They want something a little more classy. They want something, and people, why am I talking about Ohio? I'm talking about Dixon, Tennessee. They want something a little more classy. They don't want someone up here spitting and slobbering and acting crazy like that. They want something that makes them more comfortable. When you get too comfortable sitting in that pew, God's going to send a fire onto you and stir you up. You ain't here to be comfortable. You're here to be manifest in Christ. Brother Jim told me, he said, I got a fire in me. I won't go out. Y'all have that same testimony? Why not?
He said, the reason for the whole thing's rotten, corrupt, and falling apart, it stinks before God. I don't care how much you speak with tongues, how much you shout and run around the room. I don't care how much you do this or how big you grow, how many dignitaries you get among you. That has nothing to do with it. Brother and sister, none of that is the standard. Speaking in tongues, manifesting supernatural gifts is not the standard. Satan can impersonate it all. He said, you ought to oust some of that and get the Holy Ghost among you that'll clean you up, make a real church out of you. That's the real thing. People are chasing this gift and chasing that gift and chasing this and this emotion. He said, that's not it. He said, you should get rid of some of that and get Christ. He said, when the sleeping virgin came to get oil, the bride went in. They didn't get it. When the sleeping virgin came to get oil, the bride went in. They didn't get it. They come back and was cast into outer darkness. When you hear the rumors about so many Methodists, Presbyterian, Baptists, what's the matter with you? Wake up, it's later, and then you think they come back, but they may had an emotion, but they wasn't there. They're in outer darkness. They come back with an emotion. Well, I felt this anointing. I felt this sensation. I felt this, and I had this, and I got so happy, and I cried at the altar. None of that is a standard. None of that is a proof. None of that is a vindication. Brother Phil, I feel so good. I do too, and that's wonderful, and it's great to feel good. But if you don't have that fire burning in you, when you feel bad, you ain't got the fire. Everyone can shout and jump and have a big time when you feel good, but when you don't feel good, what's your attitude? That's the real thing. There's your test.
Are you passing the test? Still working on it. Are you working on it? Or is he working on it? He said, today, what do we do? Hang on a second. Crack me up. He said, today, what do? We bring these little girls and men and women belong in the churches. They make a decision in the hour of decision and things like that. Bring them in, send them right back out like that. What? They haven't got anything anyhow. They had nothing but a little emotional workup by the word. You hear what he said? They had nothing but a little emotional workup by the word. He said, it'll actually do that. It'll do that. It'll make an emotion. That's what happened to Pentecost. It went under emotion. That's what happened to all of it. Brother and sister, how many times have you had a hurt? You sat in a church and a minister gets up and he's preaching such a great message and everyone is stirred in their emotions. And that's as far as they got. I've been there how many times? I can't tell you how many times I've done that over the years. Get all stirred up and you want to serve God and you want to be right and you come to the altar, oh brother, I just want to be prayed for. I just want more of God. I want to be born again, whatever it is. And it's a stirring in the emotions. That's what Pentecost went off on. That's what the message believers are going off on. You got some dignitary that we have all this kind of, oh, there's a big name person or that. And then we go to the church and there's an anointing. There's such a wonderful time. And we just feel like we feel so good. It just makes us love each other so much. There's nothing but an emotion. Emotions fizzle out after a while. And then your life is like up and down and up and down and up. And now I'm saved. Now I'm not saved. Now I'm saved. Now I'm not saved. Yeah, I've done that for years. You talk about a miserable way to live. I should have been out like David running around being crazy. Because of this lukewarm life that I was doing, God was more sick of that than what David was doing. I like that. Lukewarm message believer Phil. I tried to quit church. He wouldn't let me, so... We all have our own testimonies, folks. You walk the way God brings you. He said the word will actually do it. It'll make an emotion. It's easy. There's this TV show on recently. It's called This Is Us. I've never seen it, but the people at work talk about it all the time. And this is what they say. Every show makes me cry.
is so sad and so happy, and it just makes you cry. And all they do, they tell these stories in a way that makes people's emotion just spike. And so they're crying about something, or they're sad about it, or they're very happy, but they're so happy because they come to work. Oh, I cried last night for This Is Us. You don't need that. Go look at the news. That'll make you cry. What is it? It's just stirring of the emotions. What kind of emotions are being stirred? But if your religion doesn't cause you to be emotional, it's dead. Ain't that amazing? You can't base it on, well, I got emotional, I must be right. No, that ain't it. But if your religion and you sit there like a stick there, you probably need to get a little stirring going on. He said, that's what the church wants. That's the reason you come in. It's easy now to get into the churches. Well, that's true. We'll bring anybody in. God will kick him back out, but we'll bring him in. The Pentecostals, all you had to do is shake a little bit, jump a little bit, say you got some kind of a testimony. Anybody can testify. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I had a sensation. I had a little feeling. I jumped. I shouted. I did all this kind of stuff. It don't mean anything. Brother David used to do that all the time before he was born again. He'd come here and dance the aisles, made people mad. You know what made him mad? David, without being born again, had more life than they did, claiming to be born again. That's what made him mad. Oh, I don't know about that, Brother Phil. Well, then argue with God about it. I'm not going to argue. He said, you ought to go with me to India sometime and listen to the Hindus testify. They make you ashamed of yourself. You ought to go back into Africa, the Hottentots, let them kill an animal, blood themselves all over, and listen to their testimonies and sensations, speaking in tongues, worship an idol sprinkling with blood. Oh, God, how I wish I could make every person here see that. He said, yeah, but we're message believers. When we do this, have our sensation, we're message believers. Brother, sister, that still is no proof that you're right. Your sensation is not a vindication. It's not the standard. It's not God proving that you're not deceived. The devil impersonates everything that God puts out. He impersonates it. Even to God's truth, he impersonates it. That's how he's deceiving the vast majority of people. He takes the word and he uses it to impersonate it. And it sounds like the truth. I can't tell you how many times I sat and listened to a preacher and believed what he was saying and later found out, oh, that wasn't right. But it sounded good in the moment. And there's great anointing with it. I was raised in a house like that. My dad was that way. I sat under so many preachers like that, and so have a lot of you. Some of you haven't, which is a blessing. What does it do? They take the word and they make it sound so good. There's no way for you as a human being to tell the difference. There's no way for you as a human being not to be deceived. You can't help it because Satan's way smarter than you are. He's way smarter than me. He knows where to apply. He knows the weak points. He knows where to put that in there just to make, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. I really like this preacher. He's making me feel good. But all that my Father hath given me will come. I won't lose a single one. And no one can come except he give him, except he draw him. So when you look at your life and you see how he's kept you and he's not allowed you to go and he's brought you from this and through that and he's still got you here and he got you going forward and you see him give you the birth and you see him moving you on and overcoming this and overcoming this, recognize it, that he put on the zeal. Because he looked around, there is no man, there is no woman, there is no one who could do that. He said, I'm going to have to do this myself. And I'm going to stomp out my enemy. My fury is going to rage against those who put their hand against my bride. That ought to make you feel safe, folks. Safe. But he was the one who did it. Only one.
One day the call came out, it's time to get this bride. It's time to get her to fulfill the word. And they said, who's worthy? Who's worthy? Anybody? They looked back through time. They checked every single person. Nope. They looked present. Is anyone worthy now? Nope. They looked into the future. Is anyone going to be worthy? They looked at every one of you. They looked at every one of us and said, nope, 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 nope. No one's worthy. And John, giving up hope, said, oh my goodness, I'm lost. But you remember in Isaiah, he said, I will put on my righteousness, my helmet of salvation, my fury, it will sustain me. I will trample the blood of my enemies myself. I will do this. So one of the elders said, John, stop crying. Stop crying, John. There's been found one who is worthy. He has done it. His love, it drove him to it. It took him to Calvary. You remember Calvary, John. What are you crying for? You know what happened? He said, brother and sister, remember this. We're at the end time. Education has took the place of salvation. The church denomination has taken the place of the body and bride of Christ. Brother and sister, I hope you understand. It's been preached, and I know I've said it how many times, but the vast majority of message believers are being educated, and message churches are nothing but seminaries to teach people to be message believers. That's all it is. And they add a little bit of an anointing, a little bit of emotion in there to make people feel like they're holy. Educate them on how to be a Christian. Educate them on how to live right. Educate them on what the prophet said. Educate them on how to get in sensation. You been there? I'm not making this up. He said, set in all that corruption. That's what you want. Set in it. If that's what you want, go there. That's what the people want. That's what the American church, that's what the Pentecostals, they want somebody not to tell them the truth. They don't want it. You tell them, they say, I don't have to listen to stuff as that. Turn up their little nose and walk out of the building. They won't listen to it. They don't want God's standard. They don't want to come God's way. Well, you have to die to your own religion, die to your own self, die to your own feelings, your own thoughts, your own emotions, and let God come and do a work in you that you can become the standard. They don't want it. They don't want that. And you and I don't either. Not in our flesh. But there is a seed of God inside of you that said, that's the only thing that I need. Everything else can go away, but God gets you to a place when we are saying, I have got to have that. He did it all the time. Someone come and say, well, I just prayed through, brother, until I got what I needed. You better go back and try again. If you pray through, it's because God put it on your heart to pray through, and you need to start giving him the glory instead of acting like you're some kind of religious something special. Go ask Brother Jim, how'd he get over being sick? You know what it was? He changed his attitude. That's what it was. He got to a point where he recognized, I cannot go on with this attitude. God said, now I got you where I want you, and now look what happened. Try to get him to be quiet. You think he ain't changed? Go ask Sister Joyce. That's what the word does, folks. Argue against that. There's your standard. There's your standard. There's your standard. Argue against what God's doing. He said, why? That's what's in the heart. They express exactly what they are. Which one of the prophets ever come in the old days? What sign did Christ come? Whatever messenger ever come from heaven but what the church rejected? We're here. The world's falling apart. The church is falling apart. The system's falling apart. Why? Because it's a system outside of God. We're at the end time. There's nothing else can be done. If there wasn't a God of mercy in heaven, I don't know what we would do. All of my hopes would be gone. That's something. He said, but there's a true church. There's a church that's waiting for the coming of the Lord. God will always grant it, but you
But just those who are ordained, you say, what good will it do to stand if this is this kind of system? There's a predestinated seed. When that light strikes, they'll catch it like that. She'll bloom to blossom right now. Others will just go right over the top of it. They believe in their system. And that's just the way it is always. They will go over the top. You can sit here and listen to what I preach and go right over the top because it's so simple, you cannot get down low enough because you're still trying to do it in your own ability. And you go over the top and say, I believe what Brother Phil said. I guess it's okay. But it's not having the effect. Why isn't it having the effect? Because you're still not allowing yourself to be simple enough. How many times did we preach in here that's simple, simple, simple? You know, obviously, some people don't, but you know one of the people in here have the hardest time with this? Me. It still blows my little pea brain how simple it really is. And sometimes I have to stop and I look at it and say, it can't be that simple. And the Holy Spirit says, really? Why? And I humble myself, it is. It's that simple. You hear the voice of God speak, you believe it, you're a believer, God says you're righteous. Yeah, I believe that, Brother Phil, but now it's not simple anymore. You added something to it. But I still have this problem, I have that problem. Everything is in you. When you're born again, everything is in you that you need to go into rapture. So what problems do you have? I still struggle with this problem. I still struggle with that. Are you not going to overcome those? Well, I don't know. Okay, you don't believe you're born again. You don't believe who you are. Because if you are a born again child of God, you will overcome the world. It's part of your inheritance. Now, what are you worried about? You will. You can't help it. Folks, we're playing out a drama. It's been written. This is your part. This is your part. This is your part. You're just playing the role that God gave you to play. Well, how's it going to end up? Go read the end of the book. We already know the end. We've already read the last chapter. We see what happens, folks. We win. We go to heaven. We get raptured. It's all there. Read your part. It's too simple. Could it be me? How could it be me? How could it be me? I just can't imagine. Oh, my goodness. But I see all these holy people. I see this going, how could it be me? It's too simple. How many people are going to miss the rapture because it was too simple? They say, he says, like it was in the days of Noah, they believed the same thing. Those who are predestinated to eternal life, they got it. No man can come to me, said Jesus, except my Father draws him, and all the Father hath given me will come. We just got to scatter the seed, throw the light. Each of you ought to be a lighthouse, a lighthouse. Each of you ought to be a lighthouse. That means you are the standard. This is what God is pointing to. He said, this is what I was talking about the whole time. It's still the same, brother and sister. You don't have to be deceived. They don't have to be deceived. All they have to do is recognize what God is doing today. The word for today, the word made flesh is the standard. That's all it is. He said, tell them about it. Well, I belong to assemblies. I belong to oneness. I belong to message believers. I belong to brother so-and-so's church. I go to brother so-and-so's church. I'm a message believer. That's right. That's what you belong to. He don't care. So you got a title. You call yourself by a certain name. Don't mean anything. God's not going to say, everyone who calls yourself a message believer, come stand in this line. I'm going to rapture you. Everyone who believes the prophet, come and stand in this line. I'm going to rapture you too. Everyone who loved the prophet, you can stand in this line. I know you weren't born again. I'm going to rapture you anyways. You say, that's ridiculous. Go talk to them, folks. You see how ridiculous it is. They believe it, folks. Why don't we believe it that way? Because the standard has been risen up. We haven't been deceived. He said, if you belong to Christ, it would be different. When the word of God and the seed of God is in there, it would bloom forth an example of Christianity. It would bloom forth something that the world would laugh at and make fun of, like it did when the Lord come, like it did every prophet that come. They laughed and made fun of them and throw them into the tombs. Oh, that's what we don't like. We don't want to be ridiculed and mocked and made fun of. We don't want to be kicked out of churches and not invited to churches and everyone looks at us funny. Nobody's old nature likes that. No one wants to be ridiculed and rejected. He said they laughed and made fun of them, throw them into tombs, but there's coming a resurrection. Man can either live for this world or the world to come. Depends on where your thoughts are at. You are either living for this world or you're living for the world to come. You can't do both. That's called lukewarm. God hates it. So either come in, let's serve this world, the God of this world, as hard as you can, or serve the God of the next world. Do one or the other, folks. Make up your mind. He said, that's where your thoughts are at. There's where your treasure also. Let it be on heaven in the coming of the Lord. Be an example of womanhood, of manhood. Be an example of Christian life. Let me read this one more little bit, and we're going to end. He said, evangelism is a net that goes forth. Jesus said, cast it into the sea. Who brought it forth, they had turtles, terrapins, snakes, frogs, everything else in it. But remember, that was what there was from the start. There's fish in there too. Just our business to saying, God's business to see who's fish and who's not. It's not my job to determine who you are and who you're not. It's not my job to determine what I need to preach because this person needs that and this person needs that. It's my job to come up here and preach what God's put on my heart. Brother Jerry's job to preach what God put on his heart. And when we're sitting out there, it's our job to hear the voice of God and just let it have the effect. Because if you're a fish, you'll come to be a fish. If you're a turtle, you'll be a turtle. It'll have that effect on you. And the fish are thrown into the, kept in the boat, and the turtles, they wander on back outside. They go swim away. That should be enough to give you some kind of confidence that you're still here. It does me. It gives me confidence. Let me read this one more quote. God help this nation. He said this in 1963. What would he say in 2018? He was talking about how things were so corrupt and perverted back then. He saw it was coming. God help this nation. God help this people. He says sometimes it would make a fellow feel like getting in the street and screaming. You just want to, you want to grab someone. You want to shake them. You say, look, look, listen. Why do you walk out? You come and you listen to the preaching and you walk out no different. You walk out with your own ideas. And I know God just completely exposed the problem in your life. And you like you just didn't even hear it. You walked out the same way. He said, make it feel like getting in the street and screaming. But this, I know what the Bible says, that no man can come except my Father draws him. I know that these things have got to be happening these days. We're seeing it happen, folks. We're seeing the word happen. It's right among us. And that gives us confidence. It boosts our faith. Guys, this is going to sound weird. When people reject what I preach, it boosts my faith. Because I see that's how they've treated all the true ministers of God. But you know what else boosts it? When I see something like this happening with you folks. When I see people accepting it and being changed, that also boosts my faith. Because I see God. It gives me confidence to come up here and preach what God puts on my heart to preach because I know that it's happening. And sometimes you go a long time without seeing hardly any fruit, but then all of a sudden this will pop up and that will pop up and you say, oh, God was still here the whole time. He was here the whole time. He was always doing it. That person had to go through a desert, but there he is. There's the standard. And then another person, God deals with them and deals with them and deals with them, and they, like a turtle, they just kind of, they're gone. You say, that has to happen too. All these things have to happen.
so we know where we're at. Isn't he good? God bless you. Let's stand.
Friends, God raised you up. He brought you to this earth for a purpose. He brought you to this church for a purpose. And that purpose is to be the standard the whole world can look at and say, oh, that's what it is, and reject it. The people who see you are going to reject. Now, some of them aren't going to reject it. Some are going to say, well, that's okay. And they might be respectful. They might see something different about you and have a respect. And they might actually do something that gets eternal life. But religious people, the real religious ones, the message believers, they don't really like it very well a lot of times. Not just message believers, but a lot of people. They don't like it because it shows up that there's something wrong in their lives. And they want it. They want to be a Christian according to their own idea, their own system. And that's what we're talking about. So be a light, brother and sister. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come and have the liberty to speak what's on your heart, Lord, to encourage us, to press us on, Lord, into more truth, Lord, just to let your spirit come and take complete control. Lord Jesus, I pray that each one here, Lord, help us to surrender our lives. Help us to believe what we hear, Lord, to recognize when Satan brings a thought against what you say. And when it is the wrong thought, help us to recognize it so we're not deceived, Lord. And Lord, it's easy for me to say this and believe it because I know that all yours, all that you that will come will not be deceived. All those names are written on your book of life will not be deceived, Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing. And you lift us up and you will bring us back to you in that final day, Lord Jesus. If we go by the grave, if we are here and live and remain when the rapture happens, it doesn't matter, Lord, but you will bring us to you because you will lose none of your own. Lord, that's such a wonderful thing. What a peace that gives us, knowing that it's all in control, knowing that you love us so much that nothing will take us out of your hands. Pray you go with this group of people as we leave here. Keep us safe on the road, Lord. Keep us always in the right attitude and help us, Lord, to be in prayer of faith, Lord, that you will continue to do the work here. Prayer and faith for each other, Lord Jesus, as we lift each other up, as we edify each other. Lord, when Satan comes in like a flood, raise the standard against him, which is us. The mystery of God revealed. I ask this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.